Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Monday. Few minutes past 6 p.m., so no kidding around. This is pretty much your last chance to get tickets to DGS 5, and here's why. Just a little inside baseball. So this venue holds about 725 people, and we have about 100 tickets left, and we have about 75 of those that are basically spoken for with comps. So clients and dignitaries and people who want free tickets and through the station, things like that. So there aren't that many actual tickets left. You guys come first today and halfway through tomorrow, and then the dignitaries have to eat it. But whatever's left, they're going to kind of gobble up tomorrow. So go to 971talk.com/DGSLive. They're $20. They are general admission in the balcony. So if you want to be in the front row of the balcony or the back, whatever, it's the Sheldon. Every seat is great. Just go to 971talk.com/DGSLive and pick them up. You guys excited?
Yes. Do you want to mention the sponsors?
I want you to mention the sponsors.
Brought to you by Weber Automotive Group, Babcock & Associates, Devil's River, Bourbon Whiskey, and what's the one I'm missing here?
Southern Armory
is sponsoring the red carpet, so Thank you guys.
I really want someone to come along and buy all 75 of those tickets, or however many hundred that are left, because I know how badly you hate people who wear sashes, and if it's all dignitaries, it's just going to be a brawl.
It'll be very pretentious.
Yeah,
like the whole balcony won't be laughing,
right?
Because they're above it,
right? Anybody wearing a sash, you'll know,
because they're most likely to heckle.
Dignitaries heckling. I would actually like to see that.
I have existential things. Are you in the mood?
Definitely.
Sure. Nah, you're not. I can
no
tell.
Do it. Well, I don't care.
So, Rach, as you know, and as Ryan is learning, I'm super into cosmology and astrophysics in a very, amateurish way. And I was watching a show the other day about, I really didn't understand this before, that we talked before about how our sun is a third generation sun. So basically what happens is you have a...
You're talking about everyone's collective sun.
No, so you have...
Our sun.
Yeah,
you
Andrew.
Have... You have...
We're listening.
Oh no! Let's talk about what you want to talk about. I'm sure it's much more interesting.
I made one joke. It's a third generation son.
Nope. Time has passed.
Okay, cool.
But I really want to hear it because I like existential stuff.
Okay, fine. So, what happens is you have a nebula, and then inside the nebula, it forms into a sun. It turns on. It lives its life, and then it blows up into a nebula. And each time it does this, the star makes more and more complicated, heavier elements. So first generation sun isn't going to make the really cool stuff. And the second generation sun is going to make cooler stuff than the first, but not as cool as the third. So you see where I'm going.
You're talking about a sun in different stages of its evolution. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So nebula, big gas cloud, coalesces into a star. It ignites, and then it lives its life, and then it blows up into a supernova and creates a nebula.
Okay.
And then it starts again. And so the more times the star goes through this, the heavier the elements it makes. And so that's where we get gold and plutonium and things like this. And I was thinking that it's analogous to a human life, that there's 10-year-old Dave, and there's 20-year-old Dave, and 30-year-old Dave, and you could look at many things in my life and say, whoa, that's when that blew up. And sometimes it's been horrific, and other times it's been amazing, but I've shed my skin and started over again a good dozen times. And while I'm far, far, far from perfect, not even close, but I think I'm a much more textured and nuanced and interesting person now than I've ever been. but hopefully not nearly as much as I will be in 20 years from now. And I thought it's that there's some analogies there, whether it's God who's showing us this is who I am through nature. And you're like, oh, things die and then they come back and then they die and they get beautiful in old age, then they crack. But that one made sense to me, that the more times you do this, the more interesting the things that come out of you.
Go ahead.
Well, I was comparing it to a lot of other things in there too, because I didn't know that created gold, for instance. So that's a very interesting analogy in and of itself, that it goes through this process and then it creates something
everything
more valuable.
Everything is created in the middle of a star, including us. We're just basically a nebula come to life.
I know that this isn't the existential part that you were thinking of, but is it possible that people would ever mine stars, like for minerals like that?
No, because I don't think it's literally on the inside of the star. I think it's
the explosion.
It's the explosion, and it blasts it out into the cosmos.
I get what you're saying, though, Dave. And there are plenty of people, like you said, that you've had this rebirth over and over again. I think there are plenty of people who don't.
I agree.
They go through hard things, and then it beats them down. And I wonder if there's not a resurrection there, because I hate to blame them, but there's a resistance to starting over. There's such a clutch on the past, on what they thought it should have been, that it makes it really hard to move forward and have a new chapter.
Yeah, and I don't think that you should be looking, oh, I'm going to blow my life up.
No, no.
But I think life does blow you up.
Oh, yeah, without you even wanting it to.
Without you wanting it to. But the same way as a star, each time it blows up, it creates something heavier and more interesting and more valuable to life, with a capital L, that if we look at our lives like that, and we look back at all the times our life blew up, that at the moment of the supernova, you're like, well, everything's over with. Mm-hmm. But then a few million years later, you're creating life again.
Do you think when you get there, this is death I'm talking about, when you get there, you will be shown all the areas that you failed as well as succeeded? I mean, I feel like you'll see the stuff that you did well, because you'll have arrived, essentially, like literally. But then will you also get to see the stuff and sort of have to mourn the things that you messed up or that you missed along the way? I know that's a very big question, too.
I think you'll see it all. I think it'll be one big summation of your life, and I think it'll make sense to everybody watching it, you know, especially people who are very unhappy and don't understand, you know, why did this happen to me? Why did this and this? I think there's just part of dying is you get peace there, right? Like, what's the point of ending it other than closure? And I think you just see it all and you see it for what it is. And I think since you're dead and you can't really change it, you have no choice but to just let it go and be like, all right, that made sense. I see it.
From doing my near-death experience studies, one of the most interesting things that I've come across, that not everybody said this, but a lot of them did, that this whole life is essentially just to learn, but that it doesn't stop once you die, that you keep learning. And that, because I think we think of heaven or whatever's next as this kind of like, okay, well, then once you're there, then it's done. But that's not what they were indicating. That life really does continue. And yeah, you understand more, but you're also still learning more.
It would almost have to be, because if there is a God that created all this, he couldn't have done it in a purposefully chaotic, nonsensical way. That's a dick move. You would have to do it in some sort of way where when we get there, we go, yep, I got it now. I missed it. As opposed to, well, that was ridiculous. And just even timing, and I understand that time is relative even in the universe, much less with a deity, but it has never made sense to me, ever. Even when I was a kid learning about heaven and hell, that, remember the age of accountability? Like, that was a big thing in our church.
Was it seven for you?
At some point, yeah.
Something like that? Okay.
But definitely saved by 20, yeah. Right? So 20 years on earth, and that's going to decide your eternity. That's crap. I mean, that's just silly. That you could live 20 years on earth, and according to some churches, live a pretty good 20 years. You're a pretty solid dude. But you don't go to the right place, you don't believe in the right thing, and so now you're in a lake of fire. I'm gonna have to find a way around that one. I mean, that just that makes no sense at all.
What is your relationship to? What do you think God thinks of comedy? That's kind of a weird question. I know.
No, I've thought about that a lot because I have a very specific weird sense of humor. And when I watch things, like Rach sent me something over the weekend saying, you got to watch this sketch. And it was so stupid. It was just beyond dumb.
It was awesome.
And Nick and I just like cried. It was just so hilarious. And it's hard to picture a holy deity watching this stupid ass sketch and doing anything other than smoting everyone involved. But we only have what we have if you believe in religion because he or she has it. So every single thing that's ever been done, God would have to at least get it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like when, but most of my life, I've always thought of God not getting it because I've always thought of God as like this mean substitute teacher. You know, like he doesn't understand me. He doesn't understand what I think is funny and why I'm giggling.
Did you feel that way whenever you're a Christian?
That's a good question.
Because that's not at all how, that's just completely different than the way that I look at the Christian God. To me, it was like, this is your father. This is your heavenly father, and he loves you, and he knows every part of you, and everything that's good in life comes from him. So that would mean that he loves comedy. Like, if we're laughing at something, he's not like, ugh, stupid kids, they don't get it. He's laughing, too. Like, he gets why it's goofy and why it's
silly.
But is
he laughing at really dirty comedy?
Probably.
I think he's smart enough that he can parse out the humor from the dirty.
Right.
But because where your mind is where my mind has been for most of my life. That this is God. He's way above this really stupid thing that I'm currently laughing at or coming up with. But I've really evolved to now think, oh, maybe he actually is involved in the minutia of even jokes. To where he's planting these ideas because he likes people to laugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't. This is my fault. I don't have a real connection in my mind with God and a sense of humor. I remember seeing a Jesus show one time. I think Jeremy Sisto mm-hmm. played him. And in the very first scene, I remember this. He ran up to one of the apostles and did the, you got something on your shirt. And then doinked his nose. And I was like, what an interesting...
Well, Jesus wouldn't have done that because that's super lame.
But I liked it because I thought, oh, that would be interesting if God thought I got your nose was funny, you know?
Yeah, I think he thinks probably even dumber things are funnier. But I also think that he probably knows the breadth of humor and can get the really sophisticated stuff and the really, really stupid stuff at the same time. And we're probably just a part of that. Like, okay, this is your sense of humor. You get this part of it. This guy gets this part. This girl gets this part.
And you also wonder if, you know, would Jesus have been the best at everything? Like, oh yeah, well, here comes Jesus. It's time for him to make the perfect chair. Or would he be the funniest guy, you know? Or would he have just been like a normal guy?
I wonder about that too, because if he had it all, he would have to be the funniest person that's ever lived. But I think his mission, at least while on Earth, was so severe that I think he probably said, yes, I could, but that's not the most important thing. So we can maybe laugh among ourselves.
Well, I got a sermon in the morning. I can't keep going to open mics. Just up way too late.
Yeah, at the temple. Plus, they wouldn't let him in. Kept throwing him out. What a weird segment.
Yes. Yes, yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. I have another existential analogy. You want it?
Sure.
So, you know how we all fight all the time just in life and you're wrong about this and blah, blah, blah. so many of my analogies come back to those magical, probably five times in my life. I went to Six Flags as a kid. And so picture being 12 and you're at Six Flags and you get there at 10 in the morning and you have to leave at 8 p.m. and you're with your group of friends. Obviously, some people want to ride the Screaming Eagle. Some people want to go to Miss Kitty's Saloon. Some people want to follow around girls or boys. Some people want to, you know, everyone has their own thing. I want to eat funnel cakes. And what's going on in the world right now, and maybe it's just because we're on 97.1 and it's just so right in front of our nose, but it seems like going to Six Flags and just fighting the entire day about what we should do, what's the best strategy. Let's ride this ride twice. No, let's never ride it. And then you look up and it's 7:45 p.m. and you've wasted your day. Like I view like what we're doing right now in America, at least, like we get to our deathbeds and go, what the hell was that? Why did I spend so much time worrying about making everyone try to think what I think?
Worrying, sure, but some of the stuff's pretty important. And if we don't have the discussion, then somebody's just going to come along and do what they want, and that probably wouldn't be the best either. But fighting and worrying about it, I agree with you. Why are we worrying about these things?
There's certainly a bell curve.
Yeah.
On one side of the bell curve, it's like, I don't know, I'm going to stand here and just wait for something to happen to me. But I feel like we're so far out to the right.
Well, everyone thinks that they can control other people. I think it all comes down to a false sense of control. Like, if I yell loud enough and if I thrash hard enough, people are going to see things my way. And that's just straight up not how it works. You don't have control over another person. You can respectfully state your opinion and state what you think is right, but you're not going to change another person's heart. You're just not. So we do spend a lot of time like digging our heels in and nope, this is what it is. This is what it is. And you have plenty of confirmation bias from your side. But unless you're willing to have a calm, rational conversation and give up some things, nothing is going to change with the people who you think you're going to change. I truly believe that. And that's from reading a lot about control. I have a tendency to want to try to control. That's what makes me feel safe, is when I can feel like I have some sort of control over the outcome of something. But the realization that you have no real control and all you can do is control yourself is what gives you peace at the end of the day.
So if America was a person right now, mm-hmm. would they be like a really crazy controlling girlfriend?
Yeah, I think both sides try to control each other. I think the left and the right get in like pissy relationship fights almost. And I do compare the left to more of like the crazy girlfriend. Like, what did you just say? Did you really just say that? Oh my gosh. It's all very based on emotion. And maybe the right's kind of like the overly stoic boyfriend who's like, ugh, babe, come on, we're doing this again, who kind of won't have a conversation about any sort of feelings. That's what it really feels like we are like right now.
Are we more divided now than we were 50 years ago?
I believe so.
It's certainly more in the surface.
Are we more divided now than we were in the Civil War?
I doubt it.
Yeah, we aren't killing each other.
Yeah, yeah. No one's going to go. Once you actually put something at stake, I think a lot of people shut up. But I think it's really easy right now to just share your opinion and shove it down another person's throat. But if it was like, all right, throw on a Confederate uniform and get out there, buddy, nobody's doing it. No one's going to put their life on the line.
I saw an article today that was about anti-new abortion law activists. So they were against the new Alabama law, defaced a church with graffiti and stuff and said, you're the source of this problem and whatever. And I thought, you know, that sucks. But 10, 20 years ago, that would have happened and nobody would have ever heard about it. Because now that happens and it's a news story. Then it would have just been a news story in some local Alabama newspaper, maybe state newspaper, but not a nationwide story. Now it's instantly out there.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Like, why do you want it to be instantly out there across the nation?
I don't.
Okay.
No, I'm saying I don't think it's a good thing that that's happening.
Well, it's kind of like last week we were talking about the Christian scientist, or I don't even know if he was Christian, but he was a scientist who said that being transgender is a mental disorder, and he got taken off of Twitter for a day. And we talked about it. Then we get back and we find out, no, it was a mistake. A bot flagged him and Twitter put him on 24 hours later. But since it blew up into this national story and then it was published on like the Christian Register or whatever the website is called, then it gives people a narrative of like, see, they're shutting down our free speech. He didn't even say anything that was wrong. This is the thought police. And it's like, well, that's not even what happened. It's that since it was spread like wildfire in this game of telephone, then you get to interpret it however you want. I think that
and
causes
most
so
people
much division.
Don't find out the back end.
No, they see the headline and then they stop. And I was like, man, he didn't say anything bad. I wanted to keep looking into it. And then you find out, no, they immediately put him back up. It was a mistake.
Do you think, because abortion is such a divisive issue, do you think there's anything scientifically that we could discover which would make people on the left who are very pro-choice change their mind? For example, if you could somehow, I know we can't do this right now, but if science could somehow prove that a baby in utero is sentient, that they are aware, even in their own, you know, they forget it. None of us remember it. But if you could actually look at brain waves or whatever and say, the heart isn't just beating, this little thing is thinking at X number of weeks.
I don't think it would change anybody's mind. I think the conversation that needs to happen that never happens, because the left has this way of saying it's a clump of cells, it means nothing. They have a tendency to be very, very flippant with abortion. What you need to do is have a conversation called, yeah, this could be a real life. And sometimes people still choose to snuff that life out. They still feel like it's the right decision. I think that's a much more honest conversation than the conversation that's like, it was a clump of cells. I did exactly what I should have done. It means nothing. Shout your abortion.
It was great.
It's not great. I know people who have been through the experience. It's horrible. Let's not pretend like it's a goal. Let's not pretend like it's something we should be proud of and aim for. It's not. It's traumatizing, and it's really insensitive to people who have had it done and either regret it or don't regret it but are scarred from it, and to people who can't conceive children, okay, to act like it's just nothing.
I couldn't agree with you more. So if people on the left are way too flippant and celebratory about, it's a clump of cells, it's just a scab inside your womb, what's the corollary on the right side? What did they do that you're like,
To me, it's when you use the word baby, I don't know if it's a baby yet. I think it's a feet. You know, like a baby to me brings to mind like a baby that you're holding in your arm. But you know what? You're allowed to do that. What's troubled me this weekend, looking on comments on like Trump tweeted about the issue and said, you know, I'm against abortion and except in the cases of rape, incest, and when it threatens the life of the mother. Exactly what Ronald Reagan believed. To me, the biggest, I can't believe you're saying this, is when people in the comments are saying, I don't think rape or incest or threatening the life of the mother should mean anything. Wait, so you're saying if a woman has three children at home and she's pregnant and her life is being threatened, you don't care about her life? You don't care that her three living, breathing children could go without a mother for the hope of maybe saving the unborn child? That is just, I guess you're allowed to feel that way, but when you straight up say, I don't care, you don't care? That's nuts. Or you don't care that someone was raped by their uncle and now they're being forced to carry the baby. What if they're 12 years old? You don't care? That's very, very calloused. It's, to me, it's the same as saying it's a clump of cells. It's nothing. It's, you know, it should be available freely, openly, all the time. There's better ways of connecting with people, because this is one of those issues. It's kind of like the gun thing where it's like, I don't think there's a fix. I don't think there's a moment where we all kumbaya together, but you can at least try to open your heart a little bit to the other side, because then maybe we could reach some sort of legislation that actually makes sense for everybody.
It's stupid to be that flippant about it. I mean, I haven't seen people commenting and saying, I don't even care if it's rape or incest.
I saw a lot this weekend, and it was gross.
That's crazy. That's stupid. But the Alabama law is designed in a certain way, and they knew it wouldn't go into law. They knew it was immediately going to be court challenged and it wouldn't happen. But they did it on purpose, and they said that rape and incest are not going to be exceptions because they're trying to say, here's the definition of a baby. Here's the definition, like Dave said, of a sentient life. And we can't really determine the cause being the reason we should get rid of this sentient life. They're saying it's sentient regardless. It's a separate life regardless of how it was conceived. And therefore, that's where we want to draw the line for the court challenge. That's the purpose of the Alabama law. It wasn't to be insensitive. It was to be a court challenge.
Well, then why did they leave in there, okay, you could... Isn't there a part of the law that's like, yeah, you could have the baby aborted before you find out you're pregnant?
In the Alabama law?
It's either the Alabama or the Georgia law, where it's like, yeah, you could have that taken care of if you go and do it before you have record that you're pregnant. Like, what? That doesn't even make any sense.
I have no idea what that would be. It would be so early that it would almost be...
Right.
You wouldn't know. Yeah, I mean, if the mother doesn't know, because the mother is not prosecuted in... these laws.
Right.
They're making very clear that the doctor is the one that they would go after, not the mother.
Well, and that's some of the fake news, too, that's going around, which is like, ladies, if you need to, I saw something this weekend that a Planned Parenthood had posted, like, if you find out you're pregnant, don't tell anyone, go across state lines, don't sign any consent forms. Well, they're not going to come after you. That's not what's going to happen. I don't think our government has the resource to have like a bounty hunter out finding women who have had abortions.
Do we know here in Missouri, we're down to one abortion provider, right?
Yeah,
in
it's
St.
the
Louis.
Planned Parenthood on Forest Park Avenue.
So do we know whether that's because of demand or because of...
It's Missouri's laws.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you in favor of the heartbeat law? I know we only have like a second left, but...
No.
Not the Missouri law?
No.
How come?
I'm actually pro-choice. I am. I get why people are pro-life, and I don't begrudge anyone that, but I do believe that it should be a decision that the mother or the woman is able to make.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So this isn't quite existential, but kind of keeping with kind of the theme of the 6 o'clock hour. Great hour, by the way. You know, if you went back 150 years, nothing would look the same. And if you brought someone from 150 years ago, they'd be like, holy crap. And I was thinking, like, what if we could go 150 years in the future, and it was pretty much the same? Like, yeah, we got the iPhone 18, but, you know, it's about all.
I would love to go into the future. I've always wanted to do either a movie. This would be a terrible movie, but I wanted to do it anyway, where the whole premise of the movie is just bringing people from the past and making them listen to modern music.
I think about that all the time. I think, like, sometimes when I'm driving down the highway or something, I'm like, what if Laura Ingalls Wilder got in a time machine and was just, like, in the car with me right now? First of all, she wouldn't know what a car was. She wouldn't know what my cell phone was. Like, it would just blow her mind.
Well, I always think about... back then, the fastest a person could go is, how fast does a horse run? 40 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so just going 80 miles an hour would blow them away.
It's like,
funny
check
because,
out this airplane.
Isaac Newton predicted that. He said, okay, in the future, he didn't put a date on it, but he said, there will be a time when man goes way faster than the speed of a horse. And he was completely laughed at. And it's funny because I was also thinking of Isaac Newton in my movie where he comes and listens to Huey Lewis in the news and somebody blows his mind.
You guys got stuff?
I do.
Take it away.
All right. You guys Steak and Shake fans?
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhat.
rumor has it, and a lot of articles are sharing a lot of facts that lead to this conclusion, that Steak and Shake nationally might shut down.
Why?
Because
they sell their food for a dollar?
They do have great deals now, man. The $4 meal is great. But $7 million in unpaid overtime is the latest.
Oh, my goodness.
Is the latest lawsuit. And that's actually brought by people from the St. Louis area, Steak and Shakes. But they also have tons of problems like this that just keep happening.
It's bad management.
It seems like bad management.
That's too bad. It's one of those things that there's so many things like this in my life where, oh, that would make me really sad. I haven't been in 5 years. Like,
yeah.
Why would it make me so sad?
You know what? I just drove past a Steak and Shake yesterday. I feel like it was in Holly Hills or something. And there was a big sign in the window that says, want to own this restaurant? It's only a $10,000 investment and you get 50% of all profits.
I saw that sign.
Yeah. And I'm not a business major or anything, but I thought to myself, that doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. So I could spend $10,000, own that Steak and Shake, and they get 50% of all the profits.
Yeah, a little too good.
I don't know.
They're closing quite a few of them in the St. Louis area, too. I know at least a handful are already closed, so I don't know if this is part of that. They're saying it's not, of course. They're saying everything's fine, mm-hmm. and certain stores, they're just closing because they don't want to operate them. They want to have them owned and operated. But, man, one of them that's got to be closed now. I went to while I was driving Uber, and that's not the place to go if you're driving Uber or if you want a quick lunch, because
the drive-through
takes a long time. And I thought it was just the one near me, because it was
it's
the one
everywhere.
I always went to. It's all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't figure out that you can use a heat lamp. I'm not going to be upset. Like, oh, it's not fresh. I'm not going to go there now.
I don't know. Those fries, though, they've got about 30 seconds in the
air. You better eat in the car.
That's a fact. But I went there.
I always find the Steak and Shake is one or the other. It's either spick and span, and I feel like I'm in the 50s, and this is the way life's supposed to be, or it's just nasty.
Those are the ones I think you go to when you're on road trips and you're in a small town, and they really like love their Steak and Shake, and they take care of it. You go to one around here, it's the ones that you're going to find something in the corner you didn't want to see.
Mm-hmm. Is Johnny Rockets still a thing?
I think so. I think it's at malls and stuff.
And Freddy's now? You've been to
Freddy's
those?
Freddy's is legit.
They're never legit. Been. They're similar business model, yes. though, I feel like. All the 50s stuff and the same burgers and the fries and stuff.
Yeah.
But they're popping up like crazy. I wonder if that is also going to kill Steak and Shake, as just the competitors who are doing the same thing as they are, they're just doing it better.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, you're from Illinois. Have you ever had Raising Cane's before?
I've only had Raising Cane's in Missouri, but
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, like, because I had never, I think the first time I had it was at the Galleria or something, and I don't know of any over on the ill side, so I don't know, I just wanted to talk about it because it's good.
So the Raising Cane's in the Valley's literally across the street from the Chick-fil-A, and most nights I'll text Phoebe Glover, hey, you want one or the other, and there's always a 50-car line at Chick-fil-A, and there's never anyone at Raising Cane's.
Really?
Yeah, never.
I never got Chick-fil-A until
I've never
I started
waited once.
Eating certain foods in their store, because I would always go into the mall ones. I'm
they
like,
have
I don't get
incredible
it.
Customer service.
It is in the
incredible.
Store. You feel like
they
really value
the
you.
Yeah.
And I don't get how they do that.
Yeah, I'm like, these
they
are
obviously
my friends.
Don't. Yeah.
No, Raising Cane's is great, though. Mmm, so good. I got some this weekend.
I only went there one time, and it was not a
you didn't like it.
Not an experience that I would want to replicate.
Mm. Really, like customer service, the food,
the food. Yeah, the food was just like whatever.
Did you eat the toast?
Maybe
the toast is the best.
Nick's
part.
Like that too. Nick's very like, hey, Nick, I'm going through Cane's for Phoebe. You want anything? No. He finds it very
Columbo
bland.
Doesn't like it either. He mentioned that the other day. He thinks it's bland too.
I've never met a chicken tender I didn't like. I mean, some are better than others, but if it's breaded and fried chicken, I'm down.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that, but I'm also not going to pay $2 per chicken strip.
We had a intern on the show, I believe his name was Mike, for like less than a month, and he managed a Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see Mike.
Oh, do you? Is he at the one in the Valley?
No. The last time I saw him, he was at the one on Highway K, and I was going through the drive-thru, and someone yelled Dave Glover, and I thought it was a fan. It was Mike.
That's cool. Yeah, but we would be like, can you bring in, especially Tony would be like, can you bring in a bag of chicken sandwiches? I'll pay. Those are the days.
Yeah.
Mike, we miss you.
We do miss you.
You know what's funny about Chick-fil-A is
should've given Mike the mark close here.
Seriously. All right, the only thing is you got to keep running the Chick-fil-A. That's our only term.
You don't even have to talk on the show.
If you've ever met somebody who used to work at a Chick-fil-A, you always know that they have, because anytime you say thank you, it's like automatic. You know what they say, right?
My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. And they say it for the rest of their lives. It is so ingrained in them. It's funny to just make people
Chick-fil-A
say.
Chick-fil-A gives me hope because it's the same, basically, you know, group of people that are working at McDonald's. They're just like the tip of the tip.
They're
just the best.
They don't hire any half-assers at Chick-fil-A. They're all good kids and adults. Mm-hmm. But Chick-fil-A, kind of back to the 608 segment, people just want to control others. To me, it's so crazy that they're still trying to shut down Chick-fil-A's in 2019. Look, anyone who's eating at Chick-fil-A in 2019 is not going to suddenly change their mind and stop because of your social issues. I am the most like pro-gay, let's pass everything, equal rights person. I'm still going to Chick-fil-A because I want the damn chicken sandwich and they're not hurting anybody.
Well, exactly. Gay people are married.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they
didn't shut that down.
I can have a spicy chicken sandwich and visit my gay married friends.
Yeah, it's just nuts.
I've been to New York City once in my entire life, and it was for one day, one quick business trip. And we ate at a pizza parlor. We just picked some random New York pizza slice place because they said, you got to try the New York pizza. Okay, we sat down. We happened upon the first Chick-fil-A meeting that was ever going to happen in New York about putting a restaurant in there. They were sitting behind us, and man, I was trying to listen to everything they were saying because they were talking about all the cultural issues. Well, where do we put it? Are we going to have trouble here? And they were talking to, I guess, some business person from New York or somebody from the government who was giving them all this advice about, well, here's how you handle this. And I'm like, wow, what a chance meeting that was that I just happened to sit behind. But they guess, what was the most recent one? San Antonio? They're trying to ban them from the airport?
Yes, they just don't eat. And then they're taking away government contracts to deal with Chick-fil-A. I don't know.
Tell me, man, not to open a whole new can of worms, but the left, I laugh when I see like the anti-fascist. To me, the left is by far the more fascist.
Well, they're definitely more, they are trying to control. The left just doesn't want you to think for yourself. That's the part that's scary about me.
And they don't want to let someone talk.
Yeah, it's not their platform. It's the fact that it's like, no, we know better. Shut up. You're not saying that right. Shut up. That is so icky to me. I can't believe that people want to pretend that that's an American.
It's very weak.
It's cowardice. It's not an American concept. And it's not a free thinking concept.
Yeah, if you're so sure about what you think, let Ben Shapiro come and give a talk and debate him and see if you can beat him. As opposed to shouting him down or throwing rocks. So un-American
Like I said, it's that false sense of control. I can just make this go away. But you can't, though.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.